Joseph Pasek of BarnBurner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and welcome to another edition of the NFL Blitz. With me on the line is Hall of Famer, yes, the Hall of Famer, John Nelson of OSG Sports. We're going to look back at NFL Week 11. Can you believe it? Week 11, this week, Week 12, because there's a turkey day in the United States. Three games. Now, John, I got to start off with my team, the Buffalo Bills.
Uh-oh.
They had a great record, you know, and nobody was complaining about Sean McDermott. He did very well or whatever. Then this week he says he's going to bench Tyrod Taylor to go to Nathan Peterman. Okay, they're in Los Angeles. The Chargers have an okay defense, not great, but okay. Nathan Peterman comes in, completes 5 passes, 5 of 16, okay, but 6 other ones were intercepted. So that experience, experiment, I don't think it flew. And the season is now over for Buffalo because they have to play 2 games against the New England Patriots, and there's no way they're going to beat New England. This week, they go into Kansas City. There's no way they're going to beat Kansas City. They're already 5-5. That means if they win the other 3-4 games, they're going to be 8-8. So who cares? But how they can change, not you know, Tyrod Taylor, he's an okay quarterback. Let's face it. He hasn't thrown the ball or whatever, but he's the typical 2017 quarterback who throws, runs, and you always hear this, manage the game. They go into L.A. and L.A. Chargers, San Diego, whatever you want to call it, 54-24, and the only key element was LeSean McCoy ran for 115 yards. So when he runs for 100 yards, they usually win. They don't lose by 30 points. And coupled with this, look, the week before they lost to New Orleans at home, 47-10. This week, 54. If I do my math right, that's over 100 points in 2 games. Explain.
101, yeah. So your math is correct. I think that they need to focus more on the defensive issues than they do on the offense right now. Tyrod Taylor is your true zone read RPO quarterback. You get what you get with Tyrod Taylor. He is developing into more of a passer, but I do not believe that that was why he was brought into Buffalo in the first place, and I don't think that's why he was starting. That's also why you brought in LeSean McCoy. And after that first drive, when it was 7-7, you saw McCoy work the touchdown off the left side, or the near side, as you were watching on TV. And you're thinking 7-7, okay, and then the wheels just fall off. I think that really in Buffalo, they need to focus more on the defensive issues than they do on the offensive issues. But remember, last couple of weeks, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers. So you've got to focus on the passing game and make sure that that back seven is really paying attention with heads on a swivel and can guard the receivers they need to guard. But no, I would focus more on pass defense right now than worrying about who your starting quarterback is and how you're worried about scoring points on the board. Hand the ball off to Shady McCoy, get your running game started. Then use the run to set up the pass, or maybe you just use the pass to set up Shady McCoy. Just do something to get the ball moving forward. But no, focus on if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, focus more on your pass defense first than you do on the points that you're scoring.
All right, let's quickly run down through some games there, and then I'll ask you a couple questions. Pittsburgh Thursday night defeating Tennessee 40-17. Are you surprised at the score?
No, I think that there are just sometimes when you get to see the kind of rhythm that Pittsburgh has, and this was just one of those. And it also reinforced the fact that Antonio Brown is the top receiver in the game, if not, you know, on the Mount Rushmore right now. So when they get into rhythm like that, that's just one of those opportunities. And the number of points on the board shouldn't surprise you. That's what, when Pittsburgh's humming, that's what you get.
Detroit 27, Chicago 24. And let me ask you a question. Last year, the Chicago Bears head coach was who? Mark Trestman.
John Fox last year?
No.
Oh, Trestman, yeah.
Yeah, Mark Trestman. By the way, Mark Trestman is heading to the Grey Cup. The Argos are heading to the Grey Cup in the Canadian Football League. So Mark Trestman proves that he's not that bad of a coach, but, you know, they let him go. But anyways, Detroit, Chicago, always a rivalry game, 27-24. A little bit too close, if you ask me, for the Lions. And the Lions have a big game this week because of Turkey Day. But can the Lions keep that momentum going?
Well, and that's the biggest question because it's a short week. And I think that when you're trying to put a team away so you can rest up and be ready on basically what amounts to 3 days rest and coming back out and playing on Thursday, that to me is the larger question for Detroit. So when you're looking at the Lions and what they may do on Thursday, don't anticipate a whole lot of abject precision. It's probably going to be a little sloppy coming out of the blocks, take them a little while to get warmed into the game. So look for something Thursday, maybe low to mid-20s again for the Lions, who have shown that they can put up numbers that are a lot more north of that.
All right, Jacksonville, Cleveland, 19-7. I always ask you this. Every time I ask you, you see Cleveland's going to win two games. They'll be lucky to win one. What do you see?
Okay. Well, I still think that, toward the last weeks of the season when there are folks who have either their plane tickets and vacation tickets punched or their playoff tickets punched and the games don't mean anything, look for the Browns to jump up and get to somebody. But, no, I'm thinking maybe in the lines of, 2-14, and that's the north end. So would it surprise me if they only won one? No, but I still think that two would probably be the number.
All right, Jacksonville, 19-7. Jacksonville, they should really beat Cleveland, but can Jacksonville make the postseason with this team that is currently assembled and currently playing how they are?
Well, I think that really they have to pay attention to how dinged up Leonard Fournette is, because I think that you've seen, when you look at the Jags, just how different they are offensively with a healthy Leonard Fournette. And there were times in the game on Sunday, Fournette was having issues with that ankle. And I think that he's going to have to be looked at and monitored carefully for the next month or so, just so he's healthy for the stretch run. Because, when you're making waves as Jacksonville is this season, that you're going to want to try to keep momentum going. But I think that the next couple of weeks are going to be mentally challenging for the coaching staff and for the offense for Jacksonville to make sure that they can stay the course for the stretch run so they can be in the playoff discussion, if not in the playoffs, by game 13 or so.
Baltimore goes into Green Bay and shuts out the Packers 23-0. You want to touch on this game?
Well, just briefly, I think that Brett Hundley still has some growing pains when it comes to being an NFL quarterback, and they showed up against a Baltimore defense that can be traditionally tough but still has issues offensively. When Justin Tucker seems to be your MVP on some weeks, then that's a larger issue for Baltimore. But Brett Hundley still has some learning and growing to do as an NFL quarterback.
All right, Houston defeats Arizona 31-21. Let's touch on the next two games here. This arguably was supposed to be the best game of the week. Minnesota doing the number on the Rams 24-7. Looks like the Vikings are for real, and if it wasn't for the Eagles, the Vikings would be the best team in the NFC. And by the way, the Super Bowl is in Minnesota.
Yeah, which means the Vikings won't make it, but I think what you're seeing is Case Keenum kind of growing into the role of the starting quarterback in Minnesota, and Latavius Murray, who seems to be the Brett Saberhagen of running backs for the NFL. Good week, bad week, good week, bad week. Had a good week this time, two touchdowns for the Vikings. But I think that, you're seeing relationships with Case Keenum and Adam Thielen. And we see this where you have quarterbacks that aren't starters. Traditionally, when they're doing their reps during the week, they're paired up against the wide receivers and the running backs that are the twos. And you're seeing a relationship with Thielen and with Keenum that is putting up huge numbers right now. And, it's coming from unsuspecting places, but that's what you get when you have quarterbacks who are used to hanging out with their guys. Twos hang out with twos when it comes to practice, and they do get, limited number one reps. But the Keenan Thielen relationship, I think, is just a byproduct of practice.
All right, next game was a real, no pun intended, barn burner. New Orleans 34-31 over Washington in overtime, but Washington was up 31-16 with 5:58 left to go. This for Washington is a season ender because they would have been 5-5 and they would have won two games. Hence, first of all, in Seattle and in New Orleans. So Washington really have to think about, you know, having you on the down with 5 minutes left. You usually run the ball or just run the ball and kill the clock. But, you know, New Orleans coming back and scoring, you know, 17, 18 points in like a 5 minute span, that's a big win for New Orleans.
Yeah, and they did it on the ground, which I thought was also interesting. I mean, you saw Alvin Kamara, the rookie out of Tennessee, who caught the game-tying touchdown pass and two-point conversion. You're seeing him emerge as a Rookie of the Year candidate in the NFC, and you're also seeing Mark Ingram seeming to come into his own in this offense now. So, you know, I think the fact that you're seeing the Saints doing it on the ground in addition to the traditional ways that you're used to seeing the Saints put up the numbers that they're putting up, I think that it's – I would think that the rest of the teams in the NFC are kind of sitting there and raising their eyebrow a little bit at New Orleans going, okay, so New Orleans is doing things the same, but they're adding other dimensions. So I think it's one of those stories that you're going to have to be paying attention to as we go down the line here is, okay – the Saints are doing it differently, and they're coming back when they need to, and they're clamping down. It's almost arena ball. Like, if you get the one stop, then that's all that Drew Brees needs in a situation like this to get the game result that they're looking for. And keep an eye on Will Lutz, who's done really well as a clutch kicker for the Saints as well this season.
So at the beginning of the year, maybe 3-4 games into the year, you say the AFC West division is the best division in football. But now you had the Kansas City Chiefs going into New York. New York only won one game all year, and they get 3 field goals and lose in an overtime 12-9. All right? Now the Cincinnati goes into Denver and beats the Broncos 20-17. I know the next game, Oakland was the home team, but it was in New Mexico, and New England did a number on the Oakland Raiders, 33-8. The AFC West, Kansas City's going to make the playoffs by default. They started out not losing a game, and now they can't win a game. Let's talk about the AFC West with these games. 12-9 in overtime against the New York Giants. They should be ashamed of themselves, Kansas City.
Yeah, they need to walk home after that result. A game with 7 field goals on a windy day in New Jersey. And Alex Smith and Travis Kelce threw 3 interceptions in roughly 40 pass attempts in regulation. So very uncharacteristic offensive day for Kansas City in a game that they really should have put away early, and they didn't. So you know, it's a lesson learned, and I think that hopefully Kansas City can take that going forward. Obviously, with the issues that Denver's having on offense, that meant that the offensive coordinator became expendable, and I don't know what that means for the remainder of their season offensively when you're trying to make coaching changes on the fly. Maybe it's just a philosophical change that would help where coaches are swapped out. And Oakland, I don't know what's going on with Oakland. I really don't, except that, you know, if you can keep an eye on their passing game and pin that down and force them to run the ball, then Oakland really isn't getting the offense that they're looking for. So I think that the AFC West, short of Kansas City, is panning itself out to be quite mediocre at the moment.
All right. Sunday night, we had the Philadelphia Eagles going into Dallas. Everybody was thinking, okay, here's the Dallas Cowboys chances. 37-9 for the Eagles. By the way, when Ezekiel Elliott plays, the Dallas Cowboys average 28 points. When he doesn't, they average 8. Can anybody stop the Philadelphia Eagles this year?
At this moment, no. And you're seeing Carson Wentz grow into the position of NFL quarterback, and you're seeing him mature, and you're seeing the weapons around him. And I think that, you know, you're seeing, you know, 7 or 8 different receivers catching passes for Wentz. You're seeing the running game flourish. And when you see a running back like Jay Ajayi, who seems to be coming into his own in Philadelphia, he had a big 70-yard run last in Sunday night's game. So it's balanced offense and a defense that attacks you. And I think it also speaks volumes as to what Ezekiel Elliott means, as to the point that you made coming into talking about the game. There's a big difference when Zeke is there as a running back as opposed to when he's not, because then all you're doing right now is making Dak Morris, Dak Prescott try to pass the ball with Alfred Morris being your leading rusher. So that really should send up flares to the rest of the NFC East and the rest of the NFC, really, as to how to attack the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. So final question with Hall of Famer John Nelson of OSG Sports in Atlanta here on NFL Blitz. Also, check us out, barnburner.ca, and our daily podcast entitled Fired Up. The AFC, it's either Pittsburgh or New England. I'm not going to put Kansas City or Jacksonville in it.
Nope.
Now, the NFC, other than Philadelphia, you got, you know, the Rams, New Orleans, and all. It could be Minnesota. Could be a toss-up there. What do you say? If I asked you, I know we're week 12 now. If I asked you, give me a Super Bowl preview, what would be the two teams?
Probably Philadelphia and New England.
And do you think the Patriots prevail once again?
Yes, because no one game plans like that staff does. And if you give them a little extra time to keep an eye on things, then I think that that'll be the least of their issues, is figuring out how to game plan against a Philadelphia offense.
All right. And now that brings up, let's say New England wins it again. When does Tom Brady, or for that matter, Bill Belichick, retire?
When they damn well want at this point.
That's it. And would they go down, if Tom Brady wins again and Belichick wins again, are they the best quarterback and the best coach in NFL history?
Of this era, I'm not going to get into that argument, because then you get into discussing them versus Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, Steve Young. So of this era, unquestioned. But I'm not going to get into a discussion of best ever, because eras are different, game is different, talent levels are different, rules are different, equipment is different, approach is different. 21st century, yes, without question. But I would put them in a grouping with Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, then Vince Lombardi, Bart Starr. I would get into those kinds of discussions, but I'm not going to sit there and say best ever because of that.
Case Keenum for the Minnesota Vikings, does he get a huge payday next year?
Huger. I don't know if it's going to be astronomical. I think that he has earned what he's been able to do with what he's done this season in Minnesota. And I think the question is, does he stay in Minnesota? Do the Vikings look at him as a 1A for Teddy Bridgewater? If Bridgewater doesn't happen, has Sam Bradford played his last game in Minnesota? I think those are the questions for the Vikings. And I think really it's the last game for Bradford. And then it comes down to Keenum and Bridgewater in 2018.
So if you had your choice, do you sign Kirk Cousins or go after Case Keenum?
Depends on what you want for your offense. And I think that, I mean, you've seen what Kirk Cousins can do. And I think that with an offense that is 100%, remember, because there have been a lot of injuries in the running game, and Jordan Reed has also been injured at tight end. I think that it comes down to supporting cast and offensive philosophy. So I think that if you sign one of the two, then you have to make sure that the tools that are around them for them to work with are what they need, instead of trying to do square peg round hole. I think that you just have to look at what's going on around them. Does this particular quarterback have input in the roster to try to figure out, okay, who is who and who do we bring in, who do we keep, and all that kind of stuff. So I think that it's a multidimensional thought. You know, are you happy with the weapons that you have around you? Are you bringing in more guys? You know, turning it into one of those, hey, come and play with me and we'll have fun and be buddies kind of a situation. So, you know, is it a Cousins dream team on offense? Is it a Keenum dream team? Or is it the guys that have gotten you where they are and you bring in a quarterback who may not fit with the guys that are already there? That's the larger question.
All right, you're based out of Atlanta, and this week the Georgia Dome is no more. Give me your, for me, has to be Goldberg and Hogan, but give me your best memory of the Georgia Dome.
Well, let's see. You got Goldberg and Hogan. You've got Super Bowl 33, I want to say, with the Bills and the Cowboys that was there when Thurman Thomas forgot his helmet.
Yeah, forget about that. Come on, you have to throw that in.
Yeah, of course I did. You know, you've got the Gold Cup fiasco from 2016. And you know, then you have all the high school championships that I've seen, all the athletes that have come through, that have gone on to college and the pros that have been on that field. And, you know, then, of course, there's the Olympics and Final Fours and all that kind of stuff. So there have been a lot of different events. But, you know, now for me, yeah, Goldberg and Hogan and Michael Jordan, the largest attendance for an NBA game playing the Atlanta Hawks, is like 62,000 or something like that. So there's a lot of stuff. But, yeah, Goldberg and Hogan definitely up there.
All right, final question, final one. Grey Cup in Ottawa this Sunday, 105th Grey Cup. The Toronto Argonauts taking on the Calgary Stampeders. I know we talked NFL, but you were formerly here in Toronto working for the Score Television Network. I know sort of your heart, you know, you have heart here in Canada. Give me your pick. And, you know, we're based out of Toronto, so give me your pick.
I've got to go with Trestman coming back and winning a Grey Cup. I think it'll probably be a 28-23 game somewhere in there. I think it'll be exciting to the last. I think probably there'll be a drive that will have an interception late that will turn it one way or the other. But I'm looking 28-23 Argos in a final.
All right, and last time they played, Argos beat Calgary here at the Rogers Centre in 2012. That's John Nelson of OSG Sports in Atlanta. John, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Easiest way is on the Twitters, at OSG Nelson. Like me, friendly, be a part of the conversation there. You can also friend me on the Facebook at John Freeman Nelson, because there's 35 John Nelsons, and I added my middle name just so it could be different. Cute sports guy on the Instagram, because on the IG, when the boss says you're a cute sports guy, that's what you are. And follow on any and all other platforms, obviously, at OSG Sports for college football and everything you need to know there for the OSGSR, which comes out on Mondays and Wednesdays here on barnburner.ca.
That's right, and hopefully John's right about the Grey Cup. Thanks a lot, John, and John will be back here next week discussing Turkey Day, three huge games. None of them are, like, really, really big games, but enjoy Thanksgiving. On behalf of everybody working at Barnburner, I'd like to wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving, John.
Thank you, my friend. Get me a scarf.
Okay.